Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris, host of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. And in this episode of the podcast, I'm going to be chatting with Jamie Medill as we tackle the second biggest challenge that you guys have raised in the HMO Experience community, which is how to actually start on your HMO property investing journey. Now, before we jump into the episode, I know that Jamie's got a few words to say about an amazing opportunity that you guys can take advantage of today. Jamie, over to you.
Hi guys, this is Jamie Medill, the co-host of the HMO Experience podcast. This episode is sponsored by The Property Money Machine, our own online training program to help anybody get job replacing income with rent to HMO, or some people call it rent to rent. The online training gives you everything you need to get results fast. Why am I so confident about that? It's because it teaches you the exact steps that we took to build our own rent to HMO business. In fact, the Property Money Machine is based on our 7 years of knowledge and experience doing this exact same strategy. So I know it's going to work for you. You don't need any prior HMO knowledge. You certainly don't need much time or money to get started in this strategy. You get a 14-day money-back guarantee, so you can test it out first. But I know you're going to absolutely love it. We're offering our HMO Experience podcast listeners some amazing bonuses right now and the best offer we've ever given. Simply follow the link now to get access to the training immediately. Thank you for investing in yourself and in the program.
Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris. Welcome to the HMO Experience Property Podcast. We are on episode number 43, where we are going to be talking about how to start on your HMO property journey. I'm here with Jamie. Say hello, Jamie.
Hi guys, great to have you here. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes. Now, if you listened to the last episode, which undoubtedly you did because you're back for this week's episode as well, we spoke about a lack of knowledge when you're just starting out on your HMO property investing journey. In this episode, we're going to have a little bit more of a deeper dive into once you've built up some knowledge, like where do you start? How do you start? What do you need to do? So hopefully this will help build you up if you're just looking to start out on your own journey. Also make sure you listen back to the previous 42 episodes where we are spewing fire, pure nuggets of HMO gold, which will also help. But all that being said, Jamie, so we're going to have a little bit of a chat around creating a plan of how to start, what resources you can use, which we'll build a little bit upon last week's episode. And then sort of keeping yourself accountable and making sure that you stick to your plan. So all that being said, do you want to kick us off and let us know? Actually, it'd be quite nice. You mentioned last week that you and Steve went on a couple of training courses before you started. Mm. Once you'd been on those training courses, like what was the next step for you guys? Yeah, to follow through, like you got some education, you got a bit of knowledge. What happened then?
Well, I think the important thing, it's a great question, Matt, and great to have you guys here. Thank you for joining us in this episode. The thing to understand is that Steve and I are very different people. And I think those of you who regularly subscribe to and listen to this podcast, you will get that anyway. You'll know this already. It won't be any great surprise. But if this is the
You're
first
the systems
episode,
guru, right?
Well, not. So the difference is Steve and I are working together, and how we came at this strategy and defined our goals were very, very different. So I'm the sort of person, maybe a bit like you, Matt, which is ready, fire, aim. Let's go. We've got the knowledge now. Let's go out and do it.
Yeah.
And Steve isn't like that. He is much more reasoned, measured, planned, and structured. So Steve comes, if you haven't already seen him on these episodes or listened to him on the episodes recently, for those of you who don't know, Steve likes an element of certainty and control. And the way to get that element of certainty and control is to literally map out step by step what to do and how to get a goal. Mm. So we both started, as I mentioned last episode, episode 42, we started by doing one training course each. Steve did a one-day training course with one provider. I did another one-day training course with a separate provider. We learned the theory, not the what and the how, but the theory about these strategies. And we both had one common goal, and that was to get job replacing income using the rent to HMO strategy too. Now, this is back in 2013. So we set the business up in the right way that we'd been taught. And our goal was to get job replacing income. That was the goal. That was our starting point. Mm. So the first thing I want to share with you is write down what that goal is for you in the first 12 months, in the next 24 months and 36 months. But don't plan too far ahead because you've got to get to the end of year one first. So think about what that goal is. And typically, it's a financial goal. Now, in the old days, the old Jamie, before working with Steve, I would have gone, great, let's go out there and just get it and see what happens. Steve was much better than that, and I've learned a huge amount from him. And that's why we share these experiences on the podcast, because Steve came in it, which was, let's just assume you want to make £10,000 a month. If that is the annual goal in the first year, £10,000 net income a month, let's work backwards. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. And Steve was brilliant. And I owe a huge debt of gratitude here because he keeps me on the straight and narrow by working backwards. So what I would recommend you do, if you have a goal in mind, a financial goal, such as I want to make £10,000 a month net income in the next 12 months, work back to how you're going to achieve that, because it's a very simple thing. There's another podcast I listen to which says success is very predictable. Mm. And all you simply do is you literally follow the steps and you do not get distracted in any way, shape or form, apart from focusing on the steps that you need to do to help you get towards the end goal. Mm. So that's what I'd suggest, Matt. That's how Steve and I got started. Yeah. Having that accountability to Steve and him to me has also really helped. But that's how we started. We knew what to do and how to do it. We'd learned the theory by investing in some of our education, but we then had to go and create the steps, the actual steps, working backwards from the 12-month goal to literally today, where do we start today? And that's how. How about you? When you started out 18 months or so ago, how was that different for you, if it was at all?
So the initial stages, like getting some education and all that, was pretty much the same. I definitely swayed more towards the old Jamie, just like, let's just go, let's go, and we'll figure it out along the way. And that, I'll be honest, that's pretty much how the first, how I started with the first sort of two or three properties. I was just like, look, let me just put this stuff into practice and see how we get on. You know, I didn't plan out, I'd like to make this much a month, or this much a year, or I'd like to have this many properties or anything like that. I simply had, the focus for me was, let's just get a property and let's get it cash flowing, you know, test and measure and then see where we go from there. So, you know, the approach for me was a little bit more back to front. I was just like, how many viewings can I get in a week? And how many calls do I need to make to get those viewings? And then how many of those viewings will lead to an offer? And how many of those offers will lead to, you know, me getting a property? And I just worked on the basis of, well, if I make anywhere between 1,500 calls a day, I'm going to get some viewings. Someone will say, yes, have a viewing. So that's pretty much, you know, that was my initial approach through April and May. So I started in March 2018 through April, May. It was just that, you know, I would spend maybe 3 or 4 days making anywhere between 1,500 calls a day. Just
amazing.
Speaking with agents, just to, you know, refine my patter a little bit, you know, finding out what works and what doesn't. And I was fortunate enough that throughout all of that time, did manage to get, I think maybe 3 or 4 viewings, which as a return was not great. I think it was about a 1% hit rate, based on the number of calls I was making, but you know, you don't make the calls, you don't put yourself in the position. And I was fortunate enough that the first viewing I had led to us taking on our first property. Now, you know, I've often said, oh, we're lucky because, you know, at the first viewing, I asked a few questions of the agent and the agent said, oh, I can show you HMO tomorrow. But had I not made all those calls, I wouldn't have got that viewing and I wouldn't have been put in front of that opportunity, right? So,
And you make your own luck, as you say. You've learned the knowledge, you've learned the theory of how to do it. You then put it into practice. You've created your plan, you know, X number of calls per day. You've been out there pushing and promoting yourself. You've been honing and improving your what you say and how you say it.
Yeah.
And that then gave you the opportunity to go and do a viewing, and then you got a house. So, you know, it's not luck. You've put the work in to help you get that potential result, and you've got a result, which is cool.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think it wasn't until we were sort of two or three properties in that I then kind of thought, okay, so I need to, you know, I'm going to build this as a business. So I need to put a little bit more structure, a bit more of a plan in place now. And that's something which, you know, after working with you and Steve for a little while, I kind of got my head around a lot more. Why I didn't think of it from the get-go, bearing in mind that, you know, I've been running a cleaning company for 8 or 9 years. I didn't really think about that. But, you know, there's a plan in place now. You know, kind of know what our numbers should be looking like. Also, how much we would like to grow and when it may be possible to make the transition into, you know, buying and developing. But I think it was, for me, it was just that. For me, it was, you know, after I'd had the education, I was just like, let me just put it into practice. Like, let's see if it works. Books and all that are great, but actually, you know, you can read all you want. I remember listening to a podcast, and I said this on one of our lives, Jack Canfield, I think he said that the one regret or the one thing that he would do differently was rather than read so many books, he would read fewer books, but implement more. So you can read and learn and do all that as you want, but actually, unless you start to implement it, like, it doesn't count for anything.
Yeah,
so I just wanted to implement.
I love that. I had a quote the other day from a guy called Jim Quick, and he's an amazing guy.
Quick brain.
He talks about, he's amazing. I mean, that's his real name as well, which I love. So, but one of the things he talks about a lot is, or one of the phrases he uses is, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is potential power. So much like Jack Canfield, if you're not going to use it and implement it, then it's all very well and good having the knowledge, but what's the point? Because you're not implementing and using it. So you went out there and actually implemented and used the knowledge to go and create the plan for you.
Yeah.
And I'm a massive believer in that. I see so many people procrastinating, worrying about getting things wrong with HMOs
because
they don't actually ever get started. They've learned the what and the how, but they're not actually doing anything with it because they don't want to make a mistake. So I think there's got to be a stage where you create your plan, you work backwards from that plan, as you did, Matt, and Steve and I did. And you'll get better with time, with experience and time, you'll tweak and hone and improve what you do. In fact, I think one of the things we're going to share, if I'm right, Matt, in the show notes, is a 90-day action workbook that Steve created for the benefit of trying to keep me under control initially to work down, to break down the seemingly, you know, maybe onerous task of here's my goal after 12 months. Steve comes from a project management and a sort of systems, operational systems background through his corporate life. And he said, rather than looking 12 months ahead, just do 90 days. So yes, by all means, have your 12-month goal. So the example I gave earlier was £10,000 a month net income, but break it down to more manageable chunks, and in this case, 90 days. So what are you going to do in the next 90 days to help you to actually get the results that in 12 months, you'll get your 10 grand a month income? And then once you've got your 90 days, how to work back into 30-day chunks, and then 7-day chunks, and then what are you going to do today that is a pre-prepared plan to help you move forward, create your business going forward to get, you know, the result after 90 days. So I think are we going to share that in the show notes?
Right? Yeah, we'll share the link in the show notes. The show notes, the link will take you to the resources page on the HMO Experience website. You can download it there. Just give us your email address and you're good to go. So that will definitely be in there.
Great.
So yeah, I think planning obviously is massively important. A thing I just want to pick up what you said, I think the procrastination, you know, is often something that just stops people from starting, the fear and that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you want to be able to start or achieve something, like, you need to just go out and do it. You know, and take each day as it comes. Don't get me wrong, I didn't like making 100 calls a day. Not really what I don't really enjoy talking that much.
But stay on, Matt. Thank God you're on this podcast. You can never tell.
but you know, I knew that you know, fail fast forward. There's a great book called The Lean Startup. It says, you know, you've got the concept of an idea, and you create your first version of it, and then you just put it out to market, get some feedback, and iterate along the way, right? So you can almost use that methodology for this. You've got your knowledge, awesome. You built it all up. You've got a good idea as to how you want to start your business. So just start. Pick up the phone. Make a call a day. Cool. You've made one call. Make two calls a day. Once you've made two, make four calls a day. Then build up to 10 or build up to 15 calls a day. And gradually, like, you will, you know, get traction. You'll learn what changes you need to make and what you don't. And before you know it, you are going to get an opportunity. And then, you know, then it's like just taking advantage of the opportunity. And utilizing the resources that are available to you, you know, the podcast, obviously the books and the videos and everything that's out there, the training and the masterminds that, we've mentioned previously, you know, to help guide you along the way. Just
start. You've got to do it.
You've got to
use it.
Yeah. You've got to start.
One of my mentors is Rob Moore. And Rob says, to know and not to do is not to know. I'm not sure if that's his quote or from somebody else, but it's a great quote. So again, as you said, to know and not to do is not to know. So if you're not doing it, if you're not going out there, like you say, not starting, then it's not going to give you the result that you need. You've got to do it. And I had a call this morning with a mentoring client. The last episode, we talked about, actually a couple of episodes ago, we talked about marketing. And this lady is brilliant. She's, you know, really motivated. She's doing all the right things, but she's very much stuck at the moment prior to the call anyway with me, she was stuck at the moment on making sure her marketing was perfect. Mm. She had the most amazing website. Yeah. The business cards were incredible. And the branding was spot on. And the marketing pack was ready. And the letters to landlords was amazing. But she hadn't gone out there and made calls to go set up viewings with agents yet. Mm. So, you know, part of my role as her mentor is to say, come on, to know and not to do is not to know. Go out there and do it now. You've got everything you possibly need ready. Stop procrastinating and go and do it. So she's now going out there and doing it. And I think that's really important. So it's know what you want to achieve. Create your plan, your goal, financial and otherwise. Break that goal down to actionable steps. And as you say, then go ahead and start doing it. Because you will get opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. I think another thing I just want to pick up, which you mentioned, you know, your situation working with Steve is a little bit different to mine. You know, started by myself primarily. One of the important things, though, and the reason why, you know, after I started and I got a little bit more education, I looked to get some guidance was primarily around accountability, right? And making sure, as you just said on, you know, on the call, like being held to account for targets or objectives that you're looking to achieve. You know, whether you just started up, you know, going and looking at, I don't know, 50 properties on Rightmove and then, you know, calling 20 agents off the back of those properties. Or whether it's, you know, getting your website started up or whether it's putting an offer forward or whatever the case may be. I think, you know, for me, because I started by myself, it was useful to have that sort of support and a little bit of a kick up the arse every now and again. You know, when things weren't quite going right, which I guess, you know, from yours and Steve's perspective was a little bit different, because you kind of, you get to bounce off each other before you call in outside help. But that's important.
We had that accountability, as you said, because, yeah, I think it is important. And I think what I observed, not only with myself in the old days, but also to other people all around us right now, is that the easiest person to lie to or to kid is yourself. So, for example, if you haven't got the results that you want in your HMO strategy yet, and then you've got the most amazing plan, and if you've written down, you know, your 90-day actions, and, you know, have you done all those actions? The easiest person to kid is yourself. So, yeah, of course, you know, if I was talking to myself, yeah, Jamie, of course, sir, I've done everything on my list. But have I really? Yeah. Have I really done everything on my list? Have you just changed some of those to-do actions, you know, by the end of the day and moved on to tomorrow or next week? Or have you really done those 10, 20, or 30 calls and got those 10, 20, or 30 viewings? It's so easy to kid to yourself, because the only person you're letting down is yourself. And as you said, if you need an accountability buddy or partner or mentor or whatever to get that accountability, which, let's face it, most people or many people do, then that's someone or some group that you can't kid, because they're going to, hopefully, if they're any good, they're going to call you out on it. Yeah. And it's only to do it for your own benefit. It's not to make them feel good or superior. It's because you've committed to them, to working with them to help you get results. It's to benefit you.
Yeah.
I agree. Having some sort of support network around you is invaluable for many people.
Yeah, for sure. So I think we've covered off quite a few bits in terms of how to start. Obviously, you've got your knowledge, which is cool. Then you have you've devised a plan, as Jamie mentioned. We've got the 90-day plan resource, which is available if you head over to the HMO Experience website. You've got your plan. Then it is obviously just about starting. Whatever the first step is on that plan, do that first step and do it consistently. And before you know it, you know, you will build up some momentum. If, you know, you feel that you're, you need some support as a self-starter, then, you know, finding an accountability buddy or an accountability group or some mentoring, I think is super valuable to make sure that, A, you know, you execute on your own plan, right? You get moved along sufficiently. But also you're kept on track, and you're given guidance when there are certain hurdles to overcome. Do you think there's anything else which we haven't covered that people would need to take into account when they look to start?
Yeah, one thing one thing I want to share is an experience that you had not so long ago that you shared with me, because when you're just starting out and creating a plan, it might feel a bit onerous. You're going to do so many calls or viewings or whatever, but that's the reality about getting success in anything, property. Mm. It's very much a people person. You can't be just on your laptop trying to do deals. That doesn't necessarily work. You've got to be out there. You've got to push yourself out of your comfort zone. And you shared with those watching this podcast on YouTube, but of course they're listening on audio, that when you first started, you did a bunch of calls each day. You set yourself targets, and you might not have got, you know, 1% conversion rate doesn't sound right, doesn't sound great. And therefore, you might ask yourself, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
But you shared with me and Steve the other day how you've had a couple of calls recently from some of those agents who said no to you 18 months ago. Like, no, get off, not interested. Who've now come to you and saying, we've got some opportunities. Do you want to take those on board?
Yeah.
So what I would definitely stress is, if you've got a plan, if you know what your goal is and you've got the plan to go and achieve that, don't think because your conversion rate isn't some huge number, very successful in month, week, or month two, month, week, week one or two, or month one or month two, just because you might not be getting the responses or the reaction you want in the numbers that you wanted, don't ever think it's wasted time or effort. Because Matt mentioned something really cool, which is consistency.
Yeah.
Just do whatever you can consistently, day in, day out, and you will get opportunities. And they may come to you like they have done with you, Matt, 18 months later. but you will get opportunities. As soon as you stop, or you try and do too much at the beginning, then you fizzle and burn out and get demotivated or give up. That's when the opportunities definitely stop too. So just thought I'd share that.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's a good point. Consistent.
But it was your effort that got the result.
I know. I think just to add to that, one of the main reasons I think people, or certainly for me, I am reluctant to do certain things is because you're going to be told no. You know, no is an inevitable part of this process. You know, if you're prepared to receive no's, then I think you're able to like deal with the reaction a lot better because, you know, like you said, a 1% conversion rate on you know, over 1,000 calls is not great. Like, it is really not great. By the same token, I kept going because I thought, well, it might be a no right now. As you said, 18 months later, it turns into a yes. But also, you just get comfortable with the no because, you know, it makes you become a little bit more creative to find a way around that no or to find out why it's a no right now. But could it be a yes at some stage in the future? So I do think that's something to prepare yourself for and to, you know, mentally accept that there's going to be lots of rejection in this business. But also, you know, when there is acceptance, obviously it can lead to great things, right? So that's if that you have to constantly keep in the back of your mind.
That's a great point, Matt. I think it's a great point because it's not just this business, it's everything we do.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's property or elsewhere in life, you're going to get those or people who disagree with you. And it's that resilience to keep going. And as you said, you know, you put in 1,000 calls, that's amazing. But then you do get some yeses, and those yeses might mean the difference between you making an extra 10 or 20,000 pounds income a year from one of those yeses or more. So definitely worth it. But you've got to be in this for the long term. This is a business. If you're talking about rent to HMO, this is a business. Mm. If you're talking about getting opportunities to go and buy properties, again, you're going to hold that asset for the medium to long term. So it's a business. So it's definitely worth it. If you want this outcome, which is to give you the income and the financial security that you've set yourself and written down day one of, like, as we talked about right at the beginning of this podcast episode, if you want that result, it's worth putting the effort in because making that decision and doing that consistent action and getting a group of people around you to help keep you accountable to keep going is going to pay you back for years and years and years to come. And as you say, Matt, a no right now might be okay or a yes later, as you just demonstrated. So it's about creating that plan and keeping going because the results and the rewards from that is definitely worth it.
Definitely. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Hey. Exactly.
Cool.
And some of you might think that's a good thing. I don't know what I'm thinking, but for those of you who are regular subscribers, we genuinely appreciate it. Yeah, thanks.
No, it's cool. Look, it's a nice juncture to kind of wrap up this episode. Episode 44, Steve is having a chat with Charlie Taggart. So she's going to go through, have a little conversation about her journey and how she got started, which will hopefully, you know, if you have second thoughts, if you're unsure, then actually hearing it from someone who has not only trained with Jamie and Steve, but, you know, has managed to get herself out of a high-flying corporate job into, you know, doing something which she now enjoys, which has given her, you know, job-replacing income, then definitely tune in to episode 44, which is out next week. For now, we are going to say adios. So it is goodbye from Jamie.
Adios, people. Good to have you here.
And adios from me. We'll see you next week. Actually, no, we won't because Steve's interviewing, so we'll see you a couple of weeks after. Bye.
Bye.